Okay, so we're up to Perek Mem Ches. Perek Mem Ches, Pasik Chaf. Pasik Chaf is called Kol HaTruma. Okay, the Truma refers to the entire section that we're going to separate from the land. Chamisha V'eshrim Elef, 25,000. Bachamisha V'eshrim Olef, by 25,000. Revi'is Tarimu Es Trumas HaKodesh El Achuzah Soir. Now, revi'is means square. This is a very unusual word of the word revi'is. Revi'is normally means a fourth. But in this context, very bizarre, it means it shall be square. The whole area is a perfect square. Look on the piece of paper, and you see, if it looks on the piece of paper, this one over here, which has the 12 shvatim. So it says over here, Mirubas, it is square. So we look over here on the bottom, we see that this whole area in total is 25,000 by 25,000. And the remainder of the strip of land on the left and the right, that's going to be designated for the Nasi, which means either the Melech HaMashiach or the Kohen Gadol. Let's see this Pasuk inside. And in the Tzudah Stav, Pasuk Chaf. Again, it's Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Chaf. So it says over here, when it says over here, we're making a summary that 25,000, this includes, don't miss Mr. Weiss, don't say, come. Mr. Weiss, don't stress yourself, it's not worth it, don't worry about it, the world goes on, don't worry about it. So over here, the entire summary, this entire section, which includes the area of the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Achuzas, is going to be 25,000 by 25,000 by 25,000. Okay, let's go further. Okay, the next words are Revi'is. Okay, this is an unusual word, which means a square. Shetach Merubas Tarimu Estruma San Kodesh Hichele Kohanim V'Halevim El Achuzas Soir Im Achuzas Soir. El over here in this pasuk means with the husoir, tehi merubas, it's a perfect square. Why does the pasuk need to emphasize that it's a perfect square? So obviously, what it has to touch upon, it's a very interesting idea, because this where do we have squares in halacha? Tefillin. Your tefillin must be perfectly square. Here, everybody say, your tefillin must be perfectly square. If they're not perfectly square, they're puzzle. The mizbeach must be perfectly square. The mizbeach, the only thing that's ma'akev about the mizbeach, there are very few things that are ma'akev. We know the mizbeach is massive. It's 32 amas by 32 amas. And different layers, the yisoy, the soyvev, the kronos. Most of these things are not important. What's important is there should be corners, and it should be square. I don't think it needs a soyvev. A lot of things are not necessary. If there would be an emergency, if Mashiach would come and we would want to bring a carbon, and there would not be enough time to build an elaborate mizbeach, it's very simple. You just build a teeny mizbeach, the size, I think, 1 amma by 1 amma. 2 feet by 2 feet, 3 ammas tall, a perfect square with corners, and that's it. That's a kosher mizbeach. Everything else is just icing on the cake. Massive mizbeach, 32 amas by 32 amas, 10 amas tall, with a ramp, a soyvev, a yisoy, the chutah sikra, all the bells and whistles. These things are not essential. What's essential is that it should be square. That's what is essential. Tefillin is square. What else is going to come to mind? Anything else must be perfectly square? Anyone have any other? What?
The karnayim?
The horns? Huh? Oh, the mizbeach are square? I don't know, I'm not so sure. The corners have to be square? The mizbeach must be square, and it must have corners. I'm not so sure. The karen, the thing on top of it has to be square? I don't know. But that's part of the mizbeach. Are there any other halachas? I'm trying to think. Are there any other halachas that require a perfect square? Does it come to mind? Anything? Anything that needs to be a perfect square? I'm not sure. The mizbeach and the tefillin. There is one other thing that we're learning now that is square, and that is the section of Eretz Yisrael. That is the penimius of Eretz Yisrael, the capital of Eretz Yisrael is a perfect square. 25,000 amos, konim by 25,000 konim, which is 150,000 amos by 150,000 amos, which is, we learned, approximately 54 miles by 54 miles in our estimated measurements, a perfect square. What does that say to us? It says that there's a relationship between tefillin, between the mizbeach and Eretz Yisrael. It's a makayim ki beisi. Then tefillin is a ki beisi, beis tefillah l'chol ha'amim. Tefillin, the singular of tefillin, is tefillah. The tefillin is also called tefillah. The mizbeach. Why do we daven every day? Why do we daven? We daven every day as a zecher for the korbanos, the tamid shel shachar, the tamid shel bein harbayim, and the haktaras emurim that are offered on the mizbeach at night. So look at that. The common denominator. The common denominator. And what is the significance of Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is the place, and we daven towards Yerushalayim. Eretz Yisrael is a holy land. But there's a common denominator of tefillah, prayer, the prayer, which is the mizbeach, tefillin, and now Eretz Yisrael, which is the mokoyim of the Hashuas Hashchina. Look back at the first references to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was traveling to Canaan to marry, to find a wife. Yitzchak and Rivka sent off Yaakov Avinu to find a wife. To Aram, to Lavan, to Aram, to Naharam Naharayim, right? Is that where he ran back to his hometown? And where does he pass? Rashi, the very first one, the first Rashi in Parashas Vayetze. As he travels, he passes over the Beis Hamikdash, over the place of the Har HaMoriah, the place where the Akeh took place. And what does he say to himself? How could it be I've passed over this section of land, the place, Shehispalu Boyavoisai, and I did not daven? He immediately changes his mind, he changes his plans, and he goes back to Eretz Yisrael, goes back to that makom, to this makom. This makom is to do what? To daven. There is no Beis Hamikdash yet, there is no Mizbeach yet. This is just the land, this is the makom. Malamit Shaham Mokoim Goyim, the Mokoim. He goes back to the Mokoim. There was no Mizbeach, there was no Beis Hamikdash. He just went back to the Mokoim Shehispalu Boyavoisai. And I'm not going to daven in this location. Miyad, he changed his mind to go back. So look at that. This land has in common, the common denominator of all the three things that we have mentioned that are squares are this piece of land, the main section of Eretz Yisrael, and the Tzilin, and the Beis Ham, and the Mizbeach. And also another thing is the base, basically the Beis Hamikdash. Remember, going back is also really a perfect square. When you extend all of the extensions, it's 100 amos by 100 amos, and tall also it's 100 amos. The Beis Hamikdash is a cube. The actual Heichal Azara and the Ulam, the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKodashim all together with the Tohim and the Beis HaKhalifos and its height is a perfect cube. It's a cube, 100 by 100 by 100. We spent so much time learning this back a couple of months or two ago about that's the place of the tefillah. That's the place where you mispal, where you do the avodah. So all of these squares, they all reflect upon, they all do have a relationship to the place of tefillah. There's a famous chazal that in the Bria, there is no such thing as a perfect square. Ein miruba b'maisei bereshis. In creation, there is no such thing as a square. Has science yet found anything in this world that is natural? Natural object in this world that is a perfect square? I don't know. As Chazal say, no, what? No, a perfect circle also not. That's also what's very interesting. It doesn't say Chazal, that everything, the Chazal were not, they're very clever. They didn't say that everything in this, that Hashem created circles. I'm not sure there's even anything in this Bria that's a perfect circle. You have to study any scientists among us here who know this. I don't believe it's so. I don't think there's anything in the Bria that we know of.
Craters.
What?
Craters.
They're perfect circles? Perfect circles? I don't think so. The Earth does not orbit around the Sun. The Earth does not orbit around the Sun in a perfect circle. It's an ellipse. The Moon does not circuit the Earth in a perfect circle. There's no such thing as an apple that's perfectly round. There's no such thing as anything in this world that's perfectly round. Isn't that amazing? There's no such thing. But man, think What?
I think the Greeks had a form of architecture that was called a perfect square.
A form of what?
Architecture.
Architecture, okay.
That's man-made.
That's man-made, right? Yeah. But I mean natural.
No, but they called it that.
It was the gold
perfect square.
Perfect square.
Natural. Is there anything in this?
It was something.
Yeah. Is there anything in this natural world that's a square? I don't believe so. There's no such thing as perfectly square. So that means Hashem's... What?
Some crystals.
Crystals? I don't think so. I don't think so. Under a microscope, that's exactly the point. There's not. You Google it. You check it out. Does not believe there is so. There's an amazing phenomenon in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he prides himself in creating circles, and yet Hashem did not create in this world a perfect circle. But man is... What is the signature of man in this world? Squares. Hashem told us the mitzvah shall be done in squares. The mizbeach is a square. Tefillin are a square. Or corners at least. Okay, tzitzis have to have four corners to put on tzitzis. It's also part of the mitzvah, the two of tefillah. Squares. Man is expected in his performance, in his avoda, to be perfect. To be perfect in creating a perfect square. Your tefillin must be perfectly square. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is not expected to be perfect. The Ribbono Shel Olam, whose signature in this world is circles, you're not going to find a perfect circle. Haloi Davar, Hashem demands more of us than what He demands of Himself? The answer is yes.
But maybe not. Maybe the man challenges Hashem. How do you
demand of us to be perfect when your world is not perfect?
And you will say, I can't make a perfect thing.
That's exactly what Hashem wants. That's a very interesting idea. Hashem, that's right. Hashem says, that's right. I want you in your avoda to be more than me. What father does not want his child...
Back to world.
Exactly. What father does not want his child to be better, to accomplish more than he did? It's a Musar Haskel. Hashem's signature is a circle, and there's no perfect circle. Man's signature in this world is squares, and Hashem is demanding. Ki beisi beis tefila l'chol ha'anim, the mizbeach, the beis hamigdash, the ulam, the heichal, the kodesh hakodashim is a perfect cube built in a land that's a perfect square. 25,000 amos by 25,000 akonim. And when we daven to Hashem, we daven with tefillin, which connects us. That's our antenna. Our Wi-Fi receptor is a perfect square. When we wear our tefillin, our talis, that has perfect corners, four perfect corners. Okay, that's not a perfect square, but I mean, you get the idea. Haloi davar. This is a powerful lesson, and the pasuk emphasizes this because we're not so foolish. We can figure out that 25,000 by 25,000 is a square. Why does the pasuk have to emphasize with the word revi'is? Obviously, it's teaching us. No, there has to be a square. Interesting. This week's parasha, we just learned this parasha that Yosef at Tzadik. If we're not for the mitzvahs of Rashi that says it's a perfect square, we would think revi'is means a quarter, a fourth. In this week's parasha, was this week's parasha? Yosef at Tzadik, what did he tell? He gave them grain, the Egyptians, and he said, "Four a revi'is is for you. I'm giving you five portions, and a chamishis is lezera, is for the kohanim." Let me take a chumash. Read you the pasuk.
We just read this. Shabbos.
Parshas Vayigash.
Pupil is
what? A perfect square?
Circle.
No, it's not. It's not. In fact, the Gemara says that certain people's eyes, they're more. What's it called?
Elongated
than others. The pupil is not. Oh, yeah, Google it. You're Googling it? It says that the pupils are perfectly round. I believe not. I believe that's the difference. The Chinese are not perfectly round. Some people are more round than others. So let's see. The Gemara considers it to be a beauty and a sign of Yofi. I want to talk about it later on today. It's a very interesting topic. We want to talk about it later on for Christianity. Christianity all began about circles and
triangle.
About the eyes, the shape of the eyes. We'll talk a little bit later on.
Oh.
That's how it all started. Can you imagine? That's how Christianity started, about the shape of the eye. It all started. Hello, Dover. We'll talk about it later on. But over here, Yosef, Vayiken Yosef is called Admas Mitzrayim Lefaro, Ki Machu Mitzrayim Ish Ladei. Okay, let's go further. Rach Admas HaKoyanim Loi Kona. We'll go further. Vayoyme Yosef Elam Hein Konisi Eskam Ayom Yes Admas Chem Lefaro Hei Lechem Zera. I'm giving you seed. Uzratem Es Adama V'Hoye Batruos. And the tool that's going to be grain. Umisatem Chamishis Lefaro.
Yes.
Paro gets 1/5. The arba hayodois yihye lochem, and you keep 4. Keep 4 for yourself.
20% tax.
20% tax, exactly. That's the most. That's the cap. What is Trump's tax?
21.
21. So he's over.
Business,
so he's over. He's over. He's over. Right. So that's an economist.
Your father had written
Trump.
Yeah. That, I think he did. Yes. I believe studies have shown. Right. This is what I remember. Maybe it's my father. I remember where I saw this. Studies have shown is that 20% is the most healthy tax balance. You tax people too much, they're going to rebel. If you don't tax them enough, it's sloppy. The government is just a sloppy type of government. Whatever, you have to, all the psychology behind the psychology and the benefit. I think it's been proven over a long period of time, there have been studies, is that Yosef was on the mark. 20% tax is the healthiest tax for rate for a country. It produces the most economic gain, economic stability for a country. And I mean, so I used to pay 40% tax. I'm not joking. When I used to make money, now I don't pay anything near that. But I thought it was like I was just outraged. How could you take away? I work so hard. Doesn't pay to work. 40% tax.
Is that just federal or all three?
Everything. Yeah. Well, I don't remember. It was a while ago. I haven't made so much money in a long time. It was like ridiculous. 40% tax because I'm in a very unique bracket where I wasn't married and living at home. And all right, listen, that's how it is.
That's
you
got a shit of crisis.
But really, I was wondering about that.
That's a shit
what?
Of crisis.
I really was wondering about that when we read this parsha.
The 20%.
Yeah.
So here it says this idea that v'hoyi bat tvoos v'yosef chamish l'far ulve arba hayados yel lechem lezera hasadet ulach lechem l'asher bevatechem lechel tapchem. You get 80% of the government's get 20. So if not for Rashi here, what I would say, this is machshava. It says over here, one more time this pasuk in Peretz Shmuel b'mechaz pasuk kaf kol atum b'chamish v'eshrim elef b'chamisha eshrim olef rivias torimu. A revius, I would say revius means, it always means, it means a quarter. It means a fourth. Revius, or maybe it means, you have to be a little more liberal, it means four quarters. Well,
what?
No, I don't know. I'm saying the word revi means four. It just triggers the thought of revi, there's another, I don't know what I'm saying. But it says here there's four portions, and here we have the sharish. The sharish is also four. Torimu es chuma sakodesh el achuzas soir. Okay, well, this is a thought. We have to figure out if there's any truth to what I just said. But in any event, no, it goes further. Okay. But over here, that's not the way Rashi and the Mitzudos learn. They learn that it's a square. And the fact that we emphasize the square indicates that there's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically is trying to tell us, I want you to make an impact on Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned before, many of you came late, as we mentioned before, a square is the hallmark. It's the signature of a human being. Ein miruba b'maisei bereishis. The world does not have squares. The natural world does not produce a square. If you find a square somewhere buried in the sand, an object that's perfectly square, you can be absolutely certain that this was created by a human being. If you dig up something in the ground in some island in Saudi Arabia, Rav Meir, I'm having nightmares about Saudi Arabia and digging up things in the ground because of you. The gold of, what was it called? The gold of Exodus.
Did you read it?
I'm in the middle. It's very fascinating. Okay, so if you dig up something in the ground and you find it to be a perfect square, you can be absolutely certain Hashem did not put it there. That you, a human being, put it there, because Ein Merubah, the Musar of this Pasuk is the fact that this section where the Beis HaMikdash is located and the Kohanim and the Levim and the Achuzah So'ir, it means, man, I am instructing you to contribute something to this world. This degree of spirituality that's going to come forth from this location, the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim and the Levim and the Achuzah So'ir, it should be a product, it's a partnership. I'm not going to do everything, Hashem. Don't ask me to come and just send down my Kedusha to this world. I'm demanding that you contribute towards the goal, and therefore it's expressed in terms of a square. It's revi'is. It shall be done in the square. It's your signature, your contribution. Let's now see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chaf, says, Kol hatruma hamikudeshes hamusremes. This is a summary of all the three sections. Mitoch hatruma gedola, from the truma gedola, all of the different sections together. Eshim v'chamisha alafim konim al eshim v'chamisha alafim konim. It's 25,000 konim by 25,000 konim. Everything together, the ten, the five, as you see in the illustration over here in the handout. Next words of Rashi with the ish miru bahas. It shall be a perfect square. El truma sakodesh. Dedicated to the Trumas HaKodesh, like I had alongside the Trumas HaKodesh, including the Trumas HaKodesh, like I hanin, v'aludiyim, v'alachuzas u'ir, achuzas, and b'chol, what does that word mean? I have no clue.
Achuzas means precincts.
What does that mean?
Precincts.
Oh, precincts, okay. Very good, excellent. Okay, now let's go. Next pasuk says v'hanoisar pasuk chav aleph, then the left over and the two sides, left and the right. La nasi shall go to the nasi. That means you see in the picture over here to the melech. Mizel both sides l'shumas hakodesh. It shall be l'shumas hakodesh v'lachuzas soir. It shall be alongside. We say mizel means opposite the shumas hakodesh, which means the kohanim and the levim. And the low portion where the city is on the bottom, el penei, and here it specifies el penei chamisha the eshim elef along the 15,000, including the levim over here. Then is grouping together the shumas hakodesh is the kohanim, and then when it says the achuz asoir in this pasuk, you see the little difficulty is shifting, and it's telling us. That includes the Levim and the Ir Lemoishav, because it's 5 and 10. The Eshrim Elef, Al-Vachuz Asu'ir, Al-Penei, what am I saying over here? I'm making a mistake. Those sections, along the length from left to right, is Al-Penei Chamisha V'Eshrim Elef, Chuma, Ad Gvul Kodima, all the way to the east. The east is on the right side, the Yama, and the west on the left side. Al Pnei Chamisha, the Eshim Elef, 25,000. Ad Gvul Yama, Leumas Chalakim, opposite the Chalakim, the portions that we mentioned before, the Kohanim, the Levim, the Achuzas Soir, La Nasi. These two areas shall be La Nasi. The Haitsa Chumas HaKodesh, Umikdash Shabayis Besochu. We have repetition. The Chumas HaKodesh and the Mikdash Shabayis will be Besochu, will be inside the area of the Kohanim, the 25,000. It's obviously a lot of repetition. I don't know why. That's very, very massive. Look at this pasuk. It's massive. It's just unbelievably massive, this pasuk. Let's see the Mesuz Dav Pasuk Chafaf, some more elaboration. To the nasi will be the left over from this chuma mehaiver mizel mehaiver mizeh milchuma sakodesh hu chelak hakoyanim v'halavim. Okay, so when it says chuma sakodesh, we're grouping together now in this pasuk both the kohanim and the levim and uliachuz asur. That's the low portion of 5,000 konim. El penei lifnei in front eshim v'chamish elef roicha of 25,000 along the span from left to right, 25,000 kol atshuma tsev gvul hamishuch all the way into the east side. V'chein b'marav lifnei eshim v'chamish elef roicha of kol atshuma tsev gvul hamarav mul chelki hashvatim. This shall be opposite the shvatim. Here, what do you mean? Opposite the shvatim are on top and below. Yehuda is on top, Biyam is below. The shavalochem zeyel nasi. So all of the land on the left and on the right of the section, the center, will be until the edge of the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. both left and right, opposite, above and below the other Shvatim, which in this case refers specifically to Yehuda and Binyamin, will be to the Nasi. La Nasi Chumas, period. Chumas HaKodesh al Chelek HaKohanim Yoimar. Then the Pasuk reviews, as if we forgot, that in the area of the Kohanim will be the Mikdash HaBayis. Kofal Hamila B'Shemois Nifradim V'chein Neged Teimona. Okay, it says here, okay, that he just points out that here these two words are redundant. The Mikdash is the bias. The bias is the Mikdash. So why the two words? Why is it necessary to say these two words? The Mitzudos, on a very simple level, tells us it's just a style of speech. It's an expression. Obviously, there's more to it. B'Seicha be'emtzois orech chelek ha'nasi will be in the center of the length of the nasi. All right, I don't know what's going on here. It's just this redundancy. We are reviewing that the Beis Hamikdash, its location will be in the center, and the Nasi will flank this chunk of land on both sides, and above and below will be the other Shvatim. And we again mentioned the dimensions. The main thing that really has been expressed, not in this pasuk but the pasuk before, is the theme that it should be a perfect square. That we can figure out on our own. The fact that it emphasizes this point is obviously coming to teach us something very deep. Rashi, pasuk chafav v'hanoisel anasiv v'hanoisel berech v'hatrumah hagadolah, the leftover of this land, mizemizel lebizuch lemarev kol shel trumas hakodesh v'lachuz asoir el pnei chamish av yeshem elav al roichav eshem v'chamish alafim, along the width of 25,000 konim, the box truma. Ad Gevul Kadima Shal Eretz Yisrael Kula, all the way to the edge, the other edge on the right, and the Yama, and on the left, El Panei V'Chilamarav El Panei Shloishes Saritzuos, along the area of the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Achuzah Soir Shal Kohanim Levim Achuzah Soir Berechav Eshem V'Chamish Alafim Ad Gevul Yama K'may Ad Gevul Yama Shal Okeanos all the way to the Mediterranean, Lumas Chalakim, above and below, on top and below is going to be other land.
Rashi is different because he says it means until the ocean.
Okay.
Whereas the other just means it's west.
The edge.
Somewhere.
Okay, but what is the edge? The edge is,
border.
The west of, what is the western border? Okay, we assume it's the ocean, the Mediterranean, but okay, whatever it is. Okay, inachanami, whatever it is. And here, you know, in fact, over here they have an addition. All right, let's leave it. Lumas Chalakim Kineged Arech Chelkei HaShvatim. Above and below are going to be chunks of land that are going to be the property of the Shvatim. La Nasi Yihia. This will be the property of the Nasi. V'Hoisa Chumas Hakodesh Shiritzuas Hakohanim. And within the Chumas Hakodesh, the Kohanim will be Mikdash Habayis Besochel Bechol Hakol BeEmsa Nachalas Nasi. The Beis Hamikdash, from the big picture of things, the bird's eye view, is going to be in the center. Is going to be in the center of the Nasi's property. The Nasi is on the outside, the two outsides, and the Beis Hamikdash is in the center, as we see in the picture. Next pasuk Chaf Beis. Umeachuzas, and from the Achuzas Halevim, Umeachuzas Soir Besoch Asher La Nasi Yihyeh. Also, the pasuk before mentioned that the Kohanim, the portion of the Kohanim, is in between the Nasi. Here we're just emphasizing that the portion of the Levim and the portion of the Ir LeMoshev is also going to be in between. B'soch HaShel Nasi Yeh. And now we mentioned who is above and who is below. Bein Gvul Yehuda, who is above. Bein Gvul Binyamin, that is below. La Nasi Yeh. Okay, so therefore we've really emphasized, there's no way to make any mistake. We've reviewed all these details in so many different forms and avenues. Pasuk HaBeis in the Mitzudas, Me'achuzas HaLevim, Ritzel Elohim HaBein Achuzas HaLevim. Then the parenthesis says, Gam Al Kohan Yom HaShem Ben Elevi, Bein Achuzas HaSoir Yeh Be'em Tzu'is Oirech Chelek HaShel HaNasi. The Nasi flanks the Levim and the Yizach HaSoir. Bein Gvul Yehuda, Ki chelik Yehuda yeh mitzafayin, the portion of Yehuda is above, the chelik hanasi, the chelik binyamin yeh midaraim, and the portion of Yehuda is below, the chavodah bepam rabois, letoisefes beor, in order to clarify exactly where it is. Okay, Rashi, pasuk chav beis, Rashi says, umeachuzas alevim, umeachuzas soir, gamhu besoch asher lanasi yeh. Okay, that's simple. The Levim and the Achuzas is also in between the Nasi. Ben Gvul Yehuda Ben Gvul Binyamin called Rechav Haritzu Asher Ben Asher Ben Shnei Hashvatim Oele. This entire chunk of land, the Kohanim, the Levim, the Ir Lemoisha of the Achuzas Oir and the Nasi, is between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda in the north, Binyamin in the south. Yehuda meets Safon, Binyamin min Adorayim. Yehiel HaNasi, Vihi, then that part a little bit for the Nasi, Vihi HaRetzua Shehutruma Rishoin, as we mentioned before, Reichav Eshim V'chamish Alafim Bo'erech, the strip of land from north to south is 25,000 Kanim. Achad Chelkei HaShvatim equal to the 25,000 Kanim of land from north to south, and each one of the 12 shvatim will receive above and below. Okay, next pasuk yud chav gimel, the yeser hashvatim. Now we're up. Now we finally finished the section of land. Now we're very quickly going to go all the way down to the bottom, and then we're going to learn the Malbim to explain why the shvatim are arranged in this order. Pasuk chav gimel, the yeser hashvatim, the remainder of the shvatim mipas kadima ad pas yama, going from east to west. Binyamin Echad. Below this strip is Binyamin. Remember, we started the first, we read up and gobbled up in 10 seconds the first 8 Shvatim. Dawn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the first 7 Shvatim. Before when we started this whole process, we went from the top down. We read very quickly the first 7 Shvatim. And then when we came into the Truma, we got distracted because there's so much detail in that section of land that's 25,000 Kanim. The Kohanim, the Levim, the Ilumosh, the Achusuir, the Nasi, the dimensions, and all various details. Now we're finished. We spent so much time, and now we can resume continuing down the Gvulos of the land, how it's going to be divided. We now come to Binyamin, Chavdalet, the Al, next to near Gvul Binyamin, Mipas Kadima, from the east, the Atpas Yama, Shimon Echad, he's next in line. Pasuch Avches, V'al Gvul Shimon, Mipas Kodima, V'Atpas Yama, Yisochor Echad. Pasuch Avav, V'al Gvul Yisochor, Mipas Kodima, V'Atpas Yama, Zivulun Echad. V'al Gvul Zivulun, Mipas Kodima, V'Atpas Yama, God Echad. V'al Gvul God, El Pas Negev Teimana. Now, what's below, near the Gvul, the boundary of God? El Pas Negev Teimana, going down south. These are two words which mean the same thing, Neged and Teimana. We have just repetition for the purpose of style. The Hoya Gvul, he's giving us the boundaries. He's telling us what exactly are going to be the southern boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Gvul mi Tamar, me Mirivas Kadesh. Tamar is a name of a place. You have the other handout. Okay, if you look on the other piece of paper, look at the boundaries. Now, this is not what I'm referring to. I'm not referring to this. We don't have it. We have that. I took it back already. Okay, we don't have it here. It's not. You don't have it in this handout. Okay, we just try to remember. We have over here from the Gvul of Tamar, May Merivas Kadesh, Nachala shall be the inheritance Al Hayom HaGadol, until the Yom HaGadol. Now, this is basically a landmark telling us the landmark of the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, the land of God. God, what it seems to say, if I'm not mistaken, is God is the exception to the rule. God's land, God's is the only one that does not say the word Echad. Okay, if you go back all the way to the very beginning, even Don, we had the word Echad. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. We began this whole section way, way back. Pasuk Beis. Okay, V'al Gvul. No, Pasuk Echad. Pasuk, I'm sorry, Pasuk Aleph. The very first Pasuk, Perek Mem Ches, it says, V'ele Shemos Hashvatim Mikseit Sofoina, the north, El Yaderech Chesloin, Levoi Chamos, Chatzar Einon, Gvul Damesek. These are the landmarks we discussed. Sofoina, El Yad Hamas, until Hamas, the Hoyu Loi Pas Kadim Hayam, Don Echad. Okay, so back in Perek Mem Dalid, the Perek Mem Ches, when we even began to discuss Don, we were told that Don will receive a piece of land that is Echad. What does it mean, Echad? So Rashi there elaborated the fact that it says the word Echad, it says the word Echad by all of the Shvatim, and it says the word, and it says that the strip of land called the Truma, it explicitly tells us that that from north to south it's 25,000 Kanim, and it compares it to the other portions of land, and the other portions of land, it keeps on repeating the word Echad, Echad, Echad. So we take everything together. This teaches us that everyone received an exact amount of land, 25,000 kanim from north to south. However, that's not 100% correct. There is one shevet that appears to get maybe even more, or maybe less, because it doesn't say the word echad. All we know about God is God starts by Zvulun, after Zvulun ends, and God goes down to the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So what is exactly 25,000 kanim until the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael? That's not likely. So what would you say off the bat? More. Who says it's more?
Right.
Maybe it's less.
Right.
Maybe it's only 5,000 kanim. Maybe it's only 1,000 kanim. That would also maybe answer part of the difficulty we had in trying to match up where is Yerushalayim. This is a variable. It's a variable. We want to make sure that Yerushalayim. Good morning. Yeah, we want to make sure that Yerushalayim in Yecheskel is the same Yerushalayim as Shlomo, the Yerushalayim we have today. And Rashi pointed out that's a bit problematic because Yerushalayim L'chayr is towards the southern end of the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. Because where is Yerushalayim on the border of Yehuda? And where is Yehuda? Yehuda in Sefer Yeshua is the one who received the southernmost portion of Eretz Yisrael. And if we assume that it received the amount of land that's a normal amount of land relative to everyone else, it's not a lot. That means that it's Yerushalayim, where we have Yerushalayim today, is towards the southern end of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, not totally the southern end. And in this illustration, we have a long way to go. We got Binyamin, Shimon, Yisachar, Zvulun, and God. We got a long way to go until we get down to the southern boundaries. Does that mean to say, Rashi says, that Yerushalayim, the time of Yechezkel, is going to be relocated to a new place? Well, that, is that possible? So it's Chas Hashem to say that. You have to understand that in the time of Yeshua, Yehuda, he took a amount of land that was almost equal to half of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the board, his boundary, on the northern boundary, it's not a problem. It's perfectly in line with what it says over here in Sefer Yechezkel. That's a hard pill to swallow. However, when you also take into consideration that God is also who, we don't even know where the boundary of God is, not necessarily 25,000 kanim. God does not say the word Echad. We don't know how much.
Does it or doesn't it say?
It doesn't say by God. Go back, right now we're learning God. Look, Pasuk Chav Ches. Pasuk Chav Ches. That was Zvulun. The Al Gvul Zvulun.
Okay.
Along the Gvul. Oh, maybe you're right. No, wait. The Al Gvul Zvulun. Oh, maybe you're right. I take it back. But there's something, I'm not taking it back entirely. There's something disturbing. Maybe you're right. The Algavul Zavulin, along the boundary of Zavulin, the Pa'as Kodima, we had Pa'as Yama, God Echad. So I take it back. I'm God Echad. I take it back. But then it goes on to say something very, you have to understand what this means. The Algavul God, and along the Gvul of God, El Pas Negev Teimana, towards the south, the Hoya Gvul, there's going to be a boundary of, the boundary is Mitamar, name of a place, which is also known as Meim Nirivas Kodesh, Nachala. This will be an inheritance. Al here means two. Keep on going all the way to the left. Hayom HaGodol. Now, what does that mean? I thought the boundary came to an end. I thought the boundary came to an end after we had the word Echad. So maybe what it means is more. They first get the basic. So I told you, it's not less. It has to then be more. That's what it seems. They first get the basic 25,000 konim. As it says in the Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, Echad. They get 25,000 konim. And then it seems to say there's going to be an additional amount of land. Well, who gets it? Who gets it? You want to say Dina de Bar Metzra? If God is living there, so God gets to swallow it up until we come to the actual border? I don't know. Let's see. Pasuk. Yeah.
Can we say that since
God initially turned down land in Eretz Yisrael.
Ooh, right.
For land in Eber HaYarden, then and now, and Yehuda absorbed those portions of the portions that is of those two Shvatim. Then now in the split, maybe it now he, so to speak, recovers land that had been
he's recovering. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. But what about Reuven? Reuven is not what about Reuven? How do you explain Reuven? That may make that makes nice sense when it comes to God. But what about Reuven? What about Menashe?
Get a portion.
Reuven gets a portion, but God is getting something more. I don't know. I really don't know.
And in fact, Reuven's portion is just north of Yehuda's portion.
So.
So, again, you said that Yehuda absorbed nearly half the land.
Back. Yeah.
So now, Reuven, which means that since Reuven is now considered to be adjacent to Yehuda,
okay.
Maybe that was its that was the portion it was supposed to receive in Eretz Israel proper.
I don't know. I hear, okay, you're speculating. Is that what was it meant to be originally?
We don't know.
Okay, I don't know. When we read the Malbim, the Malbim's going to say some interesting things about how it's divided.
Zion, does the truck help you decide where to place that word God with the Echad or with Zebulun?
God, no, that, the truck is pretty good. The word Echad goes with God. That it fits well. God Echad. It's a Mercha. It's a Tipcha Mercha Soif Pasuk. That's very common. They go together. The Tipcha Mercha Soif Pasuk. Those three go together.
That's no stop.
No, it's not a stop. No. Not by a Soif Pasuk. It's very common. Mercha Tipcha Mercha Soif Pasuk. The Mercha there is not. It's not a the Tipcha is not a Hefsik. It's not a Hefsik. It's not a stop point. Okay, let's see one more pasuk. We'll see the Mitzvus and Rashi pasuk of Tes Zois Aretz Asher Tapilu Minachal L'Shiftei Yisrael. We now wind down. This is the land that will fall as inheritance L'Shiftei Yisrael the Eile Machle Koisam. And as we have mentioned above, this is the way it's going to be divided: 20 strips of 25,000 kanim. Nu'um Hashem Elokim. So says. What are these words coming to emphasize? It's clear as day. It's coming to emphasize. It's not a goyel anymore. This is not Yehoshua's days. This is not what it was originally. The way it was divided originally was it's a goyel. A goyel opens up the person to believe. It gives a person a very great nisayon. It's just a chance. It's a chance. And we know it's not a chance. We know the goyel was l'pi ruach hakodesh. We know that when Ochaz was found guilty. How did Yehoshua know that Ochaz was guilty? Was the criminal who stole? Who took the booty from Yerichai, it was a goyel. They had no proof. There was no cameras. They had absolutely no evidence that it was Ochaz that was the one who took the spoils from Yerichai. What did Yehoshua do? He made a goyel. And the girl, a lottery. And the lottery came out, Ochaz, you're guilty. So Ochaz could have easily said, Ochaz says, I would have cast the goyel and would have come out on Moshe, on you, on Yehoshua, or the Gedolim of the generation, so you would say they're guilty. So I have bad mazel, I won the lottery, so I'm the one who's guilty. So Yeshua said to him, you're right, you can say that, but confess, admit that you're the ganav, and show us the proof that you're the ganav. And if you don't admit, why? Because if you're not going to admit that the goyel is minas shamayim, then when the land will be divided, there will be civil wars forever and ever, claiming that it's not fair. The only reason why we have to live in the south, we have to live in the north, we have to live in this territory, is only because just a chance someone threw dice. People are going to complain forever about their portion in the land. Ochos, you have a golden opportunity now. If you will admit that you indeed are guilty, Ochan, if you will admit that you are guilty, that the goyel is min hashamayim, you people will believe that this hashkacha pratis is a special hashkacha pratis in the goyel, and everyone will accept 100% their portion in the land because ach bigorol yecholek es haaretz. So Ochan, in his crime, in his sin, was given an opportunity to confess. to confess and to say, indeed, I have sinned, and by confessing, admitting your guilt, this will be a unique opportunity to be Mekadesh Hashem for all generations. It's an amazing thing what he did. He did an Avera, but he confessed. Okay, that's a very big, powerful Limud HaMusar, how hard it is. You can't judge anyone. Chas Shalom to judge anyone. All we know that all of the great people in this world, they went down, not because of their sins. Almost no one lost their greatness because of their sins. 99% of people have lost all standing and respect in this world because of the cover-up. Right down the line is when people do sins and then they're confronted and they say, I didn't do an Avera. You know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. And then they go and they cover it up. They go through elaborate schemes to cover up their crimes. And then it's exposed. Not only did they actually do the crime, they also sinned. They also committed many crimes to cover up the crime. And that is the end. That is world history. But if a person, all those people who have the courage to say, Chotasi, they're on top of the world. David HaMelech, Chazal said, wasn't it David HaMelech and Shaul? David said, Shaul, when he was confronted by Shmuel, why did you not kill Agag? Why did you not wait for me? I told you to wait for me. Do not offer the sacrifice until I come. Across the line, Shaul, I didn't do anything wrong. I did what I had to do. I didn't do anything wrong. David, when he was confronted, why did you sin with Bathsheba, which is a pretty serious crime, if you ask me, what did he say? Chotasi. You got me. Chotasi. He didn't give any excuses. Oh, she was a divorcee, he gave her a get, he's on the front lines, he's a Mari b'malchus. Mari, you have all the excuses, you have a million excuses. Kol oimer David chota, ein ele toye. What are you talking about? David himself said chotasi. Kol oimer David chota, Eina Elataya. Anyone who says David did an Avera is making a big mistake. What do you mean? But David himself said Chotasi. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the person himself. Yeah. So what's the answer? The answer, Chazal telling us, he had a lot what to say. He had a very good defense. If David wanted to say that he did not sin, he could have said he did not sin. He would have won in court. He would have said, she's a divorcee. He gave her a get. He would have said that Uriah Achiti is a Murid B'malchus. He's a sinner. He had a lot of excuses he could have said, but he didn't. David HaMelech did not take advantage of opportunities to cover up his sin, and he said, Chotasi. That is true greatness. You can't just second judge anyone because the Nisayin is overwhelming. Yehuda, why did he run to Malchus? Why did the Melech? Tzadka Mimeni. Yehuda was in the bottom of the barrel. What did Yehuda do? Yehuda went, he was responsible for Mechiras Yosef. He was shunned. He had to leave. Vayered Yehuda me'eis echav. He went into exile. And then a terrible story happened. Terrible thing happened with Tamar. And what did he do? He said, Chotasi. He said, Tzadka mimeni. And from that, what happened? It was Oyel L'gedula. He became the Melech. Achan did a terrible avera. He violated the chayim of Yeshua, and Yeshua, he wasn't even caught. He was the perfect crime, right? He always in the novels.
Well, there was a cover up there.
What cover up?
He buried the stuff in his tent.
Okay, but it was a perfect crime. No one can catch him. No one could catch him. He had committed. You want to talk about a novel? Someone who commits the perfect crime. Who is the dogma of the man who commits the perfect crime? Ochan. Ochan, what?
Rachel took the
trophim. That wasn't. Was that the perfect crime? She stole
perfect.
The trophim? Okay, but Ochan, if I want to use Ochan as an example.
You totally get away with it.
I want to use Ochan as an example of the man who has committed the perfect crime. No one get away with it. Because Yeshua said to him, we got you. How do we get you? We have a girl. Oh, a girl? What are you talking about? A girl? It's exactly. It's not in this. You go into court today, right? The police go to court and they say he's guilty. The judge says, "How do you know he's guilty? We made a lottery, and we put in the lottery. The chances of winning the lottery 1 in 5 billion, and this guy came out. He's guilty as sin. The judge will look at you, people, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. Out of your mind. That's exactly what happened with Achan. And what did Achan say? Achan said, that's right, they got me. The girl is correct. Chatasi, and I'll prove I'm guilty. Go to my tent and dig it up, and you'll see the evidence that I'm guilty. And why? And doing so, what was the purpose of doing so? What was the advantage? No one would ever dare challenge their chelik in the land. Because the chelik of Eretz Yisrael was divided. Ach, al pi goyrol yecholek es haaretz. And how does this last pasuk of almost end of Yechezkel wind down about the chalukah haaretz? It's not going to be with a goyrol anymore. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. It's direct. Right from the source. No one can complain. Reuven can't complain. Why am I stuck right in the middle? I got neighbors on the above, neighbors below. I'm not in good terms with Ephraim. Why do I have to be stuck with him as my neighbor? You can't complain. Hashem says, this is how it is. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. This is a fundamental difference between the chalukah of Yoshua and the chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. It's sad in a way. Because we don't have the opportunity to express emunah. It's you're taking away opportunity. That's what Chazal say that not everyone's going to be happy when Mashiach comes. Hamoina will be very happy. 99.999% of the people will be very, very happy because it's hard enough, because it's just too hard to live in Galus. But Yechidim, Mamish, dealing with people like the Chafetz Chaim, dealing with people, Mamish, Yechidei Skula, they're not happy. Because there's a lack of opportunity. It's just too obvious that the Ribbono Shel Olam is calling the shots. And one example of that is Eretz Yisrael. It's not an assayin. This is what I was told to do. Hashem told me to live here. I can't go and struggle with the assayin. Why me? Why me? To believe the Hashgacha, the Goyol, this is Hashem's, this is to be a maimin in the Hashgacha protest, as this is what was meant for you. So that's the ail of these words. We had these words a few times, but here's the end of the section. Ne'um Hashem Elokim, they're powerful words, and it's a simcha. It's a great simcha that Hashem is speaking directly to us, but it also means the show is over. It's the end. The opportunity to be a maimin, to be able to discover Hashem, mitoy chester panim, is over. It's over, and Chazal say this, that's not necessarily a happy event for everyone. Let us now take a look over here at the mitzvahs of these few psukim that we wind down. Starting with Pasuk, we're up to Pasuk Chav Gimel in the mitzvahs David. Chav Gimel begins V'yesh HaShvatim, Ritzon Olamah, V'chein V'chein Yichulak L'yesh HaShvatim, Mipas Kadima, Ritzon Olamah, Achelik Yeh Mipas Kadima. Now when we go, we run through the remaining Shvatim, we're going every single Sheva, going from the east to the west. Will a Sheva bin Yamin yeh lechelik echa, will have one portion. Pasuk of Dal, the al gvul bin Yamin, the samuch, al means near. Samuch al gvul bin Yamin, the drama yeh chelik me pas kodima. Will a Sheva shimon yeh chelik echa, lechen yeser ha Shvatim. Everyone is going to be the same. Pasuk chaf ches in the Mitzudos. The al gvul God, written aloyma, samuch le gvul God, shalakach mipas hadroimi yia gvul. So here it's samuch nil le gvul God, shalakach mipas hadroimi yia gvul mitamar. The boundary will go mitamar. Now he's not saying there's more land south. He's just saying the way the Mitzudos learns is that the 25,000 konim end exactly where you will find the place called Tamar. Tamar is the name of a place. Add until Meim Merivas Kodesh, continue moving from east to west until the place called Merivas Kodesh. We have that in the Torah. That's where they challenge. That's where Merivas Kodesh is, where Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Umisham bo hagvul l'nachal Mitzrayim, and from there it goes to Nachla. So he's translating the word Nachla to mean Nachal Mitzrayim, wherever that is. That's one of the biggest mysteries. Umisham el hayam ha-gadol. So it's giving us four landmarks. It's giving us Tamar, Midbar Kodesh, Nachal Mitzrayim, and the Yom ha-gadol. Obviously, the fact that we're listing these four these landmarks, there must be very great significance, and this is the definition of the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk, starting back with Pasuk, Chav Gimel, we have the Pasuk Gimel in Rashi. The Yeser Hashvatim Yitlu Bidroima Shal Isaritsua Binyamin Etzla. Binyamin will be near the Truma, the Etzla Shimon, the Etzla Yisachar, the Etzla Zivulun, the Etzla God, Nimsa God, Benetzer Droimi Shal Eretz Yisrael. God is along the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Avches Yad Gvul God, Netzer Droimi Shaloi. Okay, near his boundary, Netzer, he's defining the boundary, Mitamar Meim Rivas Kodesh Nachala, four words. The Mitzudos told me, so he told us that there's four different places, it's a line. Tamar to Mirivas Kodesh, to Nachala, to the Yam, Miyirichai. So he tells us that Tamar, and this is extremely difficult because Yirichai is not down there. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yisrael, it's not where Yirichai is. We had this before as well. This is not the first time we had this. When we described the general boundaries, we had the same exact problem. Miyirichai Ir HaTamarim, the city Yirichai, which is also known as the city of dates, B'miktsaya HaMizrach, is along the eastern boundary. Ubo L'Ma'arav, it goes to the west, L'nei Mirivas Kodesh. Ubo V'Holech Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, it goes, continues to number three, Nachal Mitzrayim, HaShefech, which pours Layom HaGadol. B'miktsaya, that is in the corner, D'Roimis Maravis, in the southwest. Again, it's very, very difficult what this means, but when we had it before in the other Rashi over there, I heard a lot, there were different notes in Rashi in this edition that says, we got a problem here. Houston, we got a problem. Because Yerichai does not appear to be in the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, so maybe it means there's another Yerichai. What does this mean exactly? We really, really, I don't know. I have no clue what this means. Okay, so this concludes the boundaries. What?
Chatzitzon Tamar also?
Chatzitzon Tamar, yeah. That's even higher. That's in the north. I don't know. That was higher up. I don't know. I really don't know. Now, before we wind down, let's just see over here. Let's try to read the Malbim for a few minutes. Just try to get a little bit of an idea of the order. The topic of discussion here is the order. Why is the order in such a way? We're done. We have here the two handouts. The handout from anyone who wants. There's still some here on the table. There are two handouts where we look at the old boundaries. The old boundaries from the time of Yehoshua. Time of Yehoshua, it's pretty wild. Okay, there's no rhyme, no reason. It looks even more confusing than the United States of America. So what's going on over here? How the land is divided among these Shevatim? So the Malbim, let's go back to the Malbim. Okay, let me find it 1 second. Give me 1 second. It's towards the beginning. Okay, 1 second. No, it's further. 1 second. Give me 1 second. No. 1 second. Where am I going? Okay, here it is. I'm in the wrong parak. That's why. That's why. Okay. Okay. It's Bays and Zion. You have the Dear Master Bays and Zion?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try just to read very quickly, see what he says over here. He tries to give us some rhyme and reason to why the Shvatim are arranged in this particular order. In Tanakh, the Shvatim appear numerous times. This week we have them again, the Brachos, the Birchos Yaakov. They are arranged in one particular order. The way they're arranged in their birth, that's their order in age. The Birchos of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a different order. In Parsha and in Chumash Bamidbar, when they're ordered a different number, the census. When the Nisim offer Kurbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan, they are arranged in a different order. So they appear in the Torah, five, six, seven times, and every single time they are ordered differently. So it's always a struggle to understand why they are put in a particular order. And to add to the mix, we have now this, the Gvulos, so the way the division. We're going from the north down to the south, and they are arranged in a very peculiar order. So here in the Malbim Pasuk Beis, it says in my Dibur HaMaskil, Beis-Zayin. From Beis, do you have that? And it's a Perek Memches. Perek Memches, towards the beginning of Perek Memches, where it says Pasuk Beis, it says V'al Gvul Don Mipas Kadim Ad Pas Yoma Asher Echad. Don ben Asher. Ritzon Olaymar. Shalokach chilek mimizrach lemarv eitzel don. The etzloy lokach naftoli. Ad Yehuda shulokach nachalosi eitzel chumas hakodesh. Period. The Seder Hashvatim, Yesh Leforesh Tam Gam Lefia Pshat. Although it seems that it's impossible to decipher, to understand the logic why they are arranged in this order, it can be explained, Lefia Pshat. Ki, Benachla Harishoina Nochalu Yehudo bin Yamin Ze Ad Sheyushalayim, the Gam Mikoim Hamigosh Hoyo Kitsosel Yehuda Kitsosel bin Yamin. We all know that. Daddy, look at this handout over here, the other handout. You see, in the original division, we have Yehuda in the south, the bottom of the page, and Binyamin, the teeny little portion. He got a really very, got probably the smallest portion according to this illustration of Eretz Yisrael, Binyamin, even less than, I don't know, maybe Sachar also got less, but whatever, Binyamin. And where is the base? Yerushalayim doesn't show you on this handout, but Yerushalayim is on the boundary. Yerushalayim is mamash, on the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin, at the kach, that the boundary went along the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was missing a chunk of the Yesoi, because the Mizbeach can only be built on the chelik of Binyamin. And since the boundary of Yehuda jutted in an unusual way into that area, so wherever Yehuda jutted in, that there could not be a foundation to the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach must be built only on the portion of Yehuda. And Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, is pretty much the center of Yerushalayim. So the Yerushalayim was built upon the division, the boundary of Yehuda and Binyamin. That's not the case in the Bayis Shlishi, where Yehuda and Binyamin, they flank the Beis HaMikdash. Yehuda is in the north, and Binyamin is in the south. But he's telling us over here. I'll take after. I didn't take any questions yet. I'll take after. I want to finish up the bottom. I'm not being disrespectful to you. I have the greatest respect for you. I want to finish up. We didn't take any questions. We're out of time. The guy mekayim hamikdash hayi kutsasa lihudu kutsasa lebinyamin. The ata now. Now, in the Bayis Shlishi, we're going to have this chunk of land that's going to be dedicated to the Kohanim. That's only fair, right? That makes sense. That's logical. If in the beginning Yehuda and Binyamin shared Yerushalayim, now there's a new order in town. We're not giving it to any one particular share. It's going to the Kohanim, but at least Yehuda and Binyamin have rights where they can at least
be the closest.
Now originally, Binyamin Mafsik ben Yosef Lihuda. Now look on the old charts. It was originally Binyamin that was Mafsik between Yosef and Binyamin. Binyamin Mafsik ben Yosef is ben Yosef Lihuda. Now who's Yosef? Yosef is Ephraim and Menashe. So if you have this handout. Okay, if you want, there's a more over here. There's another one. Anyone who wants, there's at least another one. One. It will disappear somehow. Here's more. Here's two. Anyone needs his two. Mm-hmm. I got one more. Any takers? Okay. If you look on this handout, what is above Binyamin? Ephraim and Menashe. That is Yosef. Mavs ben Yosef Lihuda. Uruvein hoyloi ben Mizrach. And Ruvein was on the east. As you see on the east side of the Yam HaMelech, Be'evach HaYard, and Eitzel Nachlas Yehuda, V'ata now, She'yikhu Ritzuos Bo'orech, V'yehuda Yikach Be'evach HaYardin, now that we're going to take Ritzuos Bo'orech, now here the Malam is saying a Chiddush. The Malam learns that Eretz Yisrael does not end with the Yardin. That is controversial. Not all of the Rishonim agree to this principle. He's saying that the Davar Pashut, that Eretz Yisrael and the Bayis Shlishi will extend the primary portion of Eretz Yisrael, not just Eiver HaYardin. It seems to indicate that its status will be upgraded for all laws. We'll go all the way to the other side of the Yardin. So now that we're allowing you, we're extending Eretz Yisrael, and Yishchu Ritzus Ba'orich Yehuda Yikach Yehuda will also take Be'ever HaYardin. Dam Ken Yikach Ruvein Ben Yehuda V'Yosef. So now Ruvein, we'll take. So it's the same. He's saying there's really no difference. Ruvein. Well, Ephraim and Menashe pretty much are in the same location. Ephraim and Menashe, notice, is above Yehuda. And being that Yehuda is taking away of their portion. Yehuda is going to expand, is going to stretch all the way into the east. So we got to make it up. He's basically stealing Reuven's land. Reuven, in the past, was on the eastern side. Who's stealing his land? Yehuda. So therefore, it's only fair that we should compensate Reuven and let Reuven be above Yehuda. And above that, we'll go back to the way it was before, Ephraim and Menashe. Okay, you see what we're doing over here? It's a little bit strange. What bothers me the most, before we even go any further, is because how come we're reversing Yehuda and Binyamin?
Yeah.
Okay, my question. Why are we reversing Yehuda and Binyamin? Yehuda is in the north, Binyamin is in the south. Yeah. What would you do? You would say, well, if we're going to try to make it as similar as it was in time of the way it was before, we would put Yehuda in the south and Binyamin in the north. Okay, he's not telling us, he's not explaining to us why you're doing that. Okay, just saying, oh, since they were partners, they were partners, so now we're going to flip. Now we're going to give them, they're going to be Din de Bametzra. They get right next to Yerushalayim. Next, why Menashe and Ephraim makes a lot of sense. We don't have to even discuss that. That'll make sense. Ephraim and Menashe, they're exactly where they were before, at least relative to the Beis HaMikdash. How did Reuven get in there? What is Reuven doing there? How did he sneak in there? That's simple, because since Yehuda is trespassing, Yehuda's now taking land on the Eiver HaYard, and where Yehuda's taking land is exactly where Reuven used to live. It's only fair, we're going to compensate, and we're going to give Reuven right above Yehuda. That's what the Malam says, right? I'm not making this up. V'yigach Reuven ben Yehuda v'Yosef. V'ach av yah Menashe v'Ephraim kum v'tchila. That's simple. The Don, now what about Don? How did Don go? This is really strange. Don, where did Don go? Don started out along the Mediterranean, and look where he is now. Don really, really took a turn. The Don, Lagachtil b'Metzrat Sefaini, he took originally in the northern boundary. Is that called the north? I'm sorry, is that called the north in our diagram? I don't know what he's saying. I guess this goes to show that there's so much difficulty.
Don is supposed to be the northernmost. I don't understand this map either, because we say from Don to Beersheba, right? That means north-south.
So what does that mean exactly?
I don't know.
That tip over there along the Mediterranean, obviously there's a lot about the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael that we do not understand. It's a very, very difficult, all the Mepharshim tell us, it's something extremely difficult to grasp how they would divide it, but over here in this picture it says, V'don, Lokach Tila B'metzah Tzvanikach Gam Kenata. So his Don is simple. Don took in the north, so Don gets in the north. It's just that his boundary is going to be 25,000, coming all the way to the right. Then Naphtali, how what's he doing up there in Naphtali? What says Naphtali the Asher Yichug al Gvul Hakoydim Shaya Ben Bnei Yosef Ben Metzrat. So they're good. Naphtali pretty much is in the same place. Umitzar Hasheni. Okay, so that covers everyone up in the north. Everyone in the north now is accounted for. Yehuda is entitled to be there because he was originally part of Yerushalayim. So he gets Din de Bar Metzra, even though really he should be below, but he's getting in the north. Reuven, we have to compensate because Yehuda has taken away, has trespassed. Ephraim and Menashe, they're good. Naphtali was where he was. Naphtali and Asher, they're good. That's where they always were. Don, a little out of place. Okay, Don doesn't really explain. Don was considered to be in the north. So now we give him the extreme north. Now what about the lower side of the Truma? Umitzar Hashem, the Truma Sakodesh, Shikach Binyamin Kimishpatai, like it was before. I'm sorry, that's not the way it was before. Before it was the other way around. But he's saying it's Kimishpatai, Kenizkal El. He was a Dina Dramatra, Vishiman Etzlai, Shikain, Gam, Techilo, Hoyanachla, Shimon, Me'ora, Benachlas, Yehuda. Shimon is getting below because Shimon is in the same location. Shimon did not get anything. Shimon is a very strange case. Shimon did not get a chelik in the land. Shimon just got cities. He was leased. He rented cities from off Yehuda. Yehuda had so much land, so Yehuda threw him a gift. Here, you can have the city for you. But he lived in that section, so now he's going to get a whole chelik. The Yisachar Zvulun V'God Achareyem.
B'shagam God hoye nachalosa itchila me'ever layarden. What is God now get a chelik down on the south when God was originally ever hayarden? Yatikach b'makom edoim. Now he's going to take along the boundary of our neighbors, which is Edoim, Amoin, Moav, Yulufi, Zeh, Shivosh, and he's not really explaining. He's just saying over here that Zevulon, he doesn't explain Zevulon and Yisachi. He really doesn't. He doesn't, because that's not where they were before. He doesn't explain them. B'Shimon, we understand a little bit. God was Ever Hayardin, so Ever Hayardin, now we're going to push him down over here. It's not very satisfying. I'm sorry, Rabbi Isai. The Rambam over here usually is like a knockout. He's a knockout, home run. It gives you a whole new insight. But over here, he's really struggling himself. There are seven in the north, five in the below. Levi is also getting a portion of the land. That's a principle. Whenever we give Levi a portion, it only can be 12 shvatim. So therefore, it's not really, even though it looks like here it's 13, it's not really 13 because we count Ephraim and Menashe as one. The Imkain Yeshisha Bat Safon. So therefore, really, it's not seven above, it's really six. It's really six because we have to count Ephraim and Menashe as one. So therefore, it's six above and it's five below. It's not really five below. Levi, Sheva Levi, is below. So therefore, it's six above, six below. And it begins and the portion of Levi begins as number one of the lower six. The Imkain Yeshisha Bat Safon, Kibinashav Ephraim Lech Yechashav, Vishisha Badar, Im Levi. The Sirah Sherosha had the golem. Now he says something very beautiful now. Sherosha had the, what were the Rosha had the golem? When they travel in the midbar, there are 12 Shvatim, and each of the 12 Shvatim were divided into four groups, and each of the four groups had a leader. Who were the leaders? The leaders were Yehuda, Ruvein, Ephraim, and Dan. Bohu, so look at this. Isn't this amazing? Yehuda, Ruvain, Ephraim, and Dan. This is an amazing insight. This is really a knockout, a home run here. In the Midbar, in the entire Chumash Bamidbar, they traveled as a box. They surrounded the base of the Mishkan. And there were three Shvatim in the front, three Shvatim in the below, three Shvatim on the left, three Shvatim on the right. Each one of the three Shvatim had a leader, had someone in charge. It traveled in groups of three. And each of the three had someone in charge. And who were the four that were in charge of these three groups? They were Yehuda, Reuven, Ephraim, and Dan. Okay? And look at that. Isn't it amazing that over here in this chart, in this new arrangement, that those four Shvatim are all on the north? They're all above? So Bahu Liyamid Mitchumas HaKodesh, they're all on top. The Eitzel Don, Bahu Asher, so the only one that's not part of that group is Asher. What is Asher Naftali doing here? You don't belong. Ephraim and Asher is one. Okay. Yehuda, Reuven, Ephraim and Asher, and Don. There are two imposters. Who are the two imposters? Asher and Naftali. What are you doing here? Because Asher and Naftali, they were part of Dan. Dan was the leader of that of the three. It was Asher and Naftali. So this already makes more sense. This already is more of a flavor to explain what's going on. We have the four leaders, and we're giving also Asher and Naftali.
And
yeah.
According to the map, they were the northern.
And anywhere there in the beginning, they're anywhere there. That's the original they were before. Don't have to go. Yes, our shvat and bow is small. Fine. Vine aretz to schalek bereichav ligimul ritzuos, like we learned before. 13 ritzuos. Ladas chazal ha yirtzuos shavas shurechav kolechem ayin ahimil. Veraka agagvol yom. We this before. Okay. Ki mishu ma'af. So therefore, that's the basic idea. So he's giving us here two different approaches. He struggles obviously, and then he says at the end this nice insight of how they all the least the four, the golem, are on the top, and we give also Asher and Naftali their tafel to Dan, so they also, they got lucky, they get to be together with Dan all the way in the north. Is it a mile to be in the north? I don't know. Was there, every part of Eretz Yisrael is holy. So this is the basic approach of the Malbim, and with that we will conclude for today. Tomorrow we have to see what we're going to do tomorrow. Might finish up tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow maybe we'll finish. And then in Yirtz Hashem, we're going to make a big siyum on a Friday. We have to figure out a Friday to make a siyum for both. Yecheskel and Yirmiyah. We never made a seam for Yirmiyah, so we're going to group the two together and make a lavish seam and invite the whole wide world.
Yeah.